Good morning, all y'all. It's great to be back. And it's got to feel good that Pastor Susan's on the way. And you're done with this speed dating with pastors on Sunday morning. Let us pray. Most holy, gracious God, we've gathered today to hear your word. May we hear what you want us to know. May it rest upon our hearts and be with us as we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I am pleased to be back. It always means something when they ask you back again, which means either you didn't get it right and they want you to do it again, or they're hoping that something good will come this time. So I'm happy to be here. As we mentioned, I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, and I serve at the Whitefish Bay United Methodist Church as pastor of visitation. And the joy for me in doing that is I get to hear people's stories, wonderful stories about life. And I'm going to kind of go through one of those with you today in relation to the psalm. I was called or got an email. I guess we do more communications by email nowadays than by phone. And I got an email that I should really go and visit this man, and we'll call him Bill, and that Bill had just been put into hospice care. Now, I didn't know him at all. They said, oh, you'll enjoy Bill. Bill's an entertaining guy. He's 90 years old. He's lived an amazing life, and you should go visit with him in hospice. Now, I like to know something about people before I visit with them so I could have a clue, but I didn't get a clue. Though there was one when I walked into his very small hospice room, and there on the wall was this huge black and white poster, which I later found out it's the biggest piece of paper that'll fit in a laser printer. A photograph was taken by one of his friend's sons of this beautiful mountainscape in New England. It turns out that Bill loved the mountains. That's what it was about for him. He loved hiking in them. He loved being in them. He loved climbing them. And so, as we were talking, Psalm 121 came to mind. And so we shared that together, and I'm going to share it again, reading it with you now. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. So, I wanted to make a connection with Bill. Now, you know, I grew up in the Milwaukee area. There are no mountains around here. I mean, Olympia in Oconomowoc, I suppose, if you've ever been out there, but that's more of a hill. But I did have one experience one time at Devil's Lake. Just recently, I think last Sunday, there was an article in the Milwaukee paper about Devil's Lake. There's a group called, let me find it here, First Descents, a nonprofit where they take young people who've been diagnosed with cancer on adventures to rock climbing and kayaking and surfing. And there was a group that went up to Devil's Lake a week ago, and there's some great pictures of them in the climbing there. And it reminded me of the time that I was there while I was in graduate school. My roommate said, oh, we're going to go rock climbing. Why don't you come along? And I'd never been rock climbing in my life. And I said, okay, I suppose I can come along. And as I thought about that story and I talked to Bill, I said, Bill, the one thing I know about rock climbing, the one thing I know about mountain climbing is that it's easier to go up than it is to come down. And he laughed and said, oh, yeah, absolutely true. And the reason I knew that is because we had climbed up the side of this rock face, rock climbing, and then they said, well, it's time for us to go down, and we're going to rappel down. Does anybody know about rappelling, right? It's where you're on the edge of the mountain, you turn around backwards, and you hold on to the rope, and you're supposed to step off the cliff, right? Now, people who know how to do it which I did not know how to do. They bend their knees and they slowly slide down and they lean back and they prepare for a drop, because the rope is going to drop from your waist level to the cliff level. Okay, you get the sense of that? If you don't know that, what happens is that you fall and you end up hanging upside down 30 feet above the ground. I did. Bill said, oh yeah, happens all the time. It was a surprise to me though, right? So luckily my friend was smart enough and a good enough climber that they figured out how to get me upright again. So I thought this picture, now that's not exactly me on the picture, at least he's hanging the right way. Though I'm not sure I'd want to do that either. So we have this idea that going up a mountain is easier than coming down, because when you're going up the mountain, you're fresh. You're energized. You can see where you're going. You know what you want to do. You can plan your route. You can get your handholds in there and your place where your feet are going to be, and you can make it up in a good way. Coming down, however, you're tired. You have no clue where you're going. You can't see where to put your feet. You can't see how things are going to go. And somehow gravity seems stronger on the way down than it does on the way up. So we were talking about this up and down kind of thing, and it caused me to do some exploration. I was curious, what does the Bible say about climbing mountains? Psalm 121, we know about looking up to the mountains. And interesting, there is a fair number of passages about mountains and hills in Scripture. And you know what? From my perspective, all of them talked about how easy it is and how good it is to go up and what a pain it is when you come down. Let me give you some examples. Exodus 3. Moses sees a burning bush in a mountain. He climbs up to the mountain. He sees the bush. He hears God's voice. He comes down, he's got to wrestle with Pharaoh. Not good. Exodus 32, Moses again. Moses goes up to meet God on the mountain and get the commandments. That had to be amazing, right? To experience God's presence and get these commandments. He comes down, the people are worshiping a golden calf. Not good. Deuteronomy 34, Moses does a lot of mountain climbing. He had to be tired by the time he was old. Deuteronomy 34, he climbs up to Mount Nebo, and God says, look out there. There's the promised land, the land of milk and honey that you will not see because you're not going there. Coming down had to be a bummer for Moses, right? Going up is easier. Going up is something. Coming down, not so good. We see the same thing in the New Testament with Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. Had to be on a mountain, right? Sermon on the Mount. Talks to the crowds, inspiring wisdom that stays with us today, that's relevant and meaningful and positive. Amazing teaching. Coming down, he's confronted by people who are sick, who need healing, who are lost. He's overwhelmed by the human need. Luke 8, Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray and to be with God. He comes down to find his disciples in a storm on the sea, doubting that they'll survive, doubting him. Not good. Matthew 17, Jesus goes on the mountain where he's transfigured and he meets the prophets and men from the old, Moses and Elijah. Comes down, finds the disciples bickering over whether they can heal this demon-filled boy or not. He says, oh, you of little faith. And finally, Luke 22. He goes up to the Mount of Olives to pray. Comes down to be arrested, tortured, and crucified. Something happens going up. But when we turn and come back down, it's hard. It's challenging. It's difficult. Psalm 121 is about this. It's about these ups and downs in life. And it's so appropriate that we sang it today, because it's considered one of the Psalms of Ascent. It was the Psalms, as you know, are the hymns of the ancient people, of the Hebrew people. And they would sing this psalm on the way in their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. As they were going forward, they would sing Psalm 121 on their pilgrimage for the holy days, the high festivals. It's a psalm about movement. It's a psalm about journeying. It's a song about being lost in the desert and coming forward to the promised land. It's a psalm of seeking and looking. I lift my eyes up. I need to find something. I'm seeking something. It says, I do lift my eyes up. It doesn't say, I'd like to lift my eyes up. It doesn't say, I should lift my eyes up. It doesn't say, I could lift my eyes up. It says, I do lift my eyes up with confidence and expectation for something that I need. Something that I'm looking for. Where will my help come from? Built into that sentence is the implication, it's the acknowledgement that I need help. You need help. We all need help. And where will it come from? What kind of help do we need? It's all different types. For some, we need healing for bodies that aren't functioning as they should. For some, we need emotional care. For depression, anxiety, fear. For some, we need help with relationships, how to get along with one another, how to deal with troubles in our families, in our workplace. For some, we need spiritual help. I just can't find my way. I don't know what life means to me. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I need to do. I'm lost. Where will my help come from? Built into that is a recognition that I need help, that I can't do it alone, that I am dependent, that I am vulnerable. I have to look outside of myself for something. The good news is the psalm gives us an answer. Where does my help come from? The psalmist is clear. 100% clear. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Not from just some important, powerful, influential person, but my help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created everything, the one who has all power, the one who is above all, the one who is at the core of our very existence, the one whose spark of life is within each and every one of us. That's where the help comes from. Can't ask for more help than that. And what will God do? It says, He will not let your foot slip, which is a very good thing when you're climbing mountains, by the way. Trust me, falling off, I know these things. He will not let you falter. You will not find yourself hanging upside down, I think the psalm is telling us. You will be secure. However, if you read that carefully and think about that just a little bit, the psalm doesn't say God will lift you up and put you on top of the mountain. What it says is He will not let your foot slip. That means that God will be with you where you are to be a support, to be a presence. But you still have responsibility for progress. You still have responsibility to keep climbing. You still have responsibility to watch out what you do and how you do it. It's like a child learning to ride a bike. You take the training wheels off, right? You don't ride the bike for the child, do you? You're there. You kind of hold it and steady them, but they've got to do it. Or a child learning to swim. You don't hold their head above water and paddle their arms for them. They've got to do it. But you're there. Your presence is powerful. Your help is necessary. But they're there. It's like the rope. This guy climbing up here on this slide, by the way, he has no rope, if you notice that. Do not do this at home. This is not, he must be a trained professional or they photoshopped him up there. I'm not sure how that worked. But it's like God is the rope. And God is the belay. That's the man who, or person, the individual who holds the rope, the other end of the rope, so that if you fall, they stop you. That's what this is saying. God will not let your foot slip. And as Jenny said, God will be there 24/7. Always. All the time, God is there. It says he'll shade you from the sun. He'll be there in the heat of the day. He'll be there when life is beating down upon you oppressively and you don't know how you're going to make it. And boy, we know what that feels like the last couple days, don't we? And he'll protect you from the moon. He'll be there at night when the terrors of the evening, of the dark, the terrors of the unknown assail you. All the time, everywhere, God is there. Constant, continuing care. And what we're told in the scripture, let's go back to a couple of those Bible the slides for the text. I want you to look at something. Okay, lift my eyes up when my help will come from. Go next. My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot be moved. He'll keep you when he doesn't slumber. Keep moving a little bit further. Next slide. The Lord is your keeper. Doesn't that sound like an odd word to use, your keeper? Well, actually, the word keep or keeper shows up in this psalm. There's only 8 verses. It shows up 5 times. Seems a little unusual. Let's go through them quickly. The Lord is your keeper. Next one, they'll strike you by moon. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life, keep your going out, your coming in from this time on. And thanks be to God. So I was curious about that, and I was looking into a commentary about that, and the word keep or keeper is a very specific word. It shows up 600 times, the Hebrew version of it, 600 times in the scriptures. And the Hebrew word that keeper is the translation of is the word shomer. Shomer. And the word shomer means to keep, to guard, to observe, to give heed, to exercise great care over. In Hebrew law, a person could be a shomer, which means they held custody over someone's property in care for them, kind of like a guardian ad litem or a power of attorney. And so what we're told is that God is our keeper. It's the same word that we find in Genesis when God approaches Cain and says, "Where's Abel?" And what does Cain say? "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, the answer is, yeah. Should be. But God is our shomer. God keeps us, watches over us, watches over Israel, watches over God's people. The Lord is your shomer. The Lord is your keeper, kind of like a shepherd who takes responsibility to watch over the sheep, who is the keeper, the caretaker, the custodian, the watchman over the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shomer. John 10 says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." The good shepherd, I know my own, and I watch over them. That's what Psalm 121 is trying to tell us, is that we are on this journey. We are on this pilgrimage from one place or another that's called life. Not literally geographically. Some people don't move very far. They don't go very far. But in life, things change that we go through a process. We go through this journey. And this journey has its ups and it has its downs. It has its successes. It has its failures. Whether it's in jobs or in relationships and meeting one's goals and one's connection with God and one's relationship with their families or with other people they meet, we have all these things on our journey, and sometimes they work well and sometimes we're hanging upside down on the cliff. But what Psalm 121 tells us is that even in the valleys, we are not alone. God is our keeper. God is our Shomer. God is present to us, not necessarily as a fix-it, not going to necessarily make everything perfect, take away everything that's weighing heavy upon us, but God won't let our foot slip as we keep climbing. We may not be able to avoid challenges, but there will be a way through them, or a way to be present as they are upon us. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, will be sent to teach us, to remind us of everything that he said, which includes the fact that he is our shepherd, he is our caretaker, he is our guardian. And all of us at some time or another will need God as our Shomer, our keeper, our guardian to watch over us. Which brings us back to Bill in hospice. He only had a couple weeks. And as we talked about it, it struck me that Bill was on a climb of sorts in hospice. This was going to be his last mountain to be on. He knew where he was going. He knew what was happening. He knew the route that he wanted to take. And like planning out the handholds that would support him and lead him forward, what he did is he deliberately made contact with all his friends and all his relatives and the people in his life and touched base with every one of them, or most of them. People were coming from all over the country to sit in this little hospice room with him. There were times I'd call and say, should I come? He says, no, I've got too many people here today. Can't have you today. Come another time. Because that's who he was. He was an outgoing kind of guy. And he faced the end of this journey with the same determination and clarity, intensity, humor, and faith that he had lived his life, that he had used to climb the mountains he climbed on, that he had used on several occasions, actually, to carry people down who were injured, and he would bring them down the mountain. And so he embraced the essence of this psalm. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord. And that's the lesson in life for all of us, that we need to journey in our life with our heads up, looking up the mountain, open to God's presence every day, knowing that we are one step closer to the summit, whether we choose to do it or not, and that our goal, where we're going to, what we're about, is there, but it takes our step every day, and we prepare by looking up and by calling to God as our keeper, as our guardian, as our Shomer, to be with us. We need our heads up to strive to live with the confidence that we are not alone. The confidence is that when things are falling down all around us, when we find ourselves hanging upside down, that God's on the other end of that rope. And sometimes we find ourselves hanging upside down because we've done something that put us upside down. And sometimes it's because somebody else did something and we ended up upside down. And sometimes it just happens. But God is there 24/7 to remain with us as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. So I leave you with that thought. If you can remember one thing today, remember that God is your Shomer. God is your caretaker. God is your keeper. Amen.